Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Two of Australia's leading MVPs, presenters, bloggers, and all-round Microsoft tech nerds. Robert Crane. He's an Office 365 MVP and the director of CIA Ops. Mark Keane. He's a Microsoft Azure MVP and an Azure / PowerShell Premier Field Engineer working at Microsoft. All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
We're back for another Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and joining me from the demilitarized zone, somewhere in an undisclosed location, protecting the world from Facebook and Google, is our secret agent, Agent 003.1427. How are you going, Mark?
Yeah, I'm good. I thought that was like you're rattling off pi or something similar.
I'm glad that you recognise the number. What's been happening in your world since we've last spoken?
Well, for those who want to know the undisclosed location, I will give it to them for free of charge. Is it the Gold Coast? I'm not going to be here for long. I'll be flying out tomorrow, so I guess it doesn't really matter that I give the location out, because by the time they hear the podcast and by the time they work out where I am, it's not really a security risk anymore then, is it?
Don't know. We'll have to wait and see. See if they let you pass through the border unassisted. You know, there's always that snap of latex that would put the worry into most people. But anyway, by the sound of it, you've been busy up there.
Busy up here.
Expanding people's minds. Is that what you've been doing?
Busy up here at a place called Bond University doing PowerShell training. And I might add that Bond University is a brilliant university. Now, I'm not just saying because it's a university and it's brilliant. It's because it's, you walk on campus, it's like, it's, you know how you got this concept of third world, second world, first world countries?
Yep.
This is one step above first world country. This is immaculate campuses. This is gardens and grass taken to the next level. This is like the Microsoft grass I talked about when I went to Microsoft in Seattle last year for the MVP summit. This is immaculate. It's got poinciana trees everywhere, manicured immaculately. The buildings, my God, they are awesome. They've been, each one has been architected to the nth degree. You can just tell when you're walking along campus. It is clean. It's crisp. It's the, words can't describe it. I took some photos of it. I stuck it on my Twitter. And you saw the photos. Rob, what did you think?
Well, obviously, Bond University is a private university versus some of the government ones that the traditional ones we've had.
Hang on. Private university, you're close, but it was, had Alan Bond had something to do with it in the beginning. I know that much. I don't know the full story. However, now it's not for profit, which basically means they've got their base OPEX, operating costs, to run the university and to pay staff and that palaver. But any profit they make has to be reinvested into the university because they can't use that for their benefit, right? Because it's not for profit. So basically it means that over the years they've put it all back in the university, and it shows that. They've got little university subets, like a mini suburb just down the road. As you walk down just out of the university, a little road that goes around, there's cafes everywhere. There's actually a man-made lake that's been built just behind the university, which a lot of the people that I'm doing the PowerShell training to, at lunchtime they go down to this and sit across this lake. And there is such a thing in Queensland called beautiful one day, perfect the next. And every single day I've been there, it's been perfectly blue skies. It is a little bit fresh and cold in the morning when I get there at 7 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? It's only for an hour. And as soon as the sun comes up, it heats things up. And when I came back this afternoon, after a full day, in fact, every single day, it's been like 20 degrees outside. This is in winter, so-called winter at the Gold Coast. And if you follow Troy Hunt, you'll understand that there is no such thing really as a winter in the Gold Coast in Queensland. It is every single day is perfect. It literally is.
So as I was saying, a private university, what have you been doing up there specifically? Have you been teaching the people up there PowerShell? Is that that's what you've been doing? They've been able to absorb that all?
Yeah, so PowerShell, so as part of the, you know, Premier Field Engineer, part of the role is doing these courses. They're called workshops and they're predefined workshops. And yeah, we do training courses. And so PowerShell Part 1 course, and it's a four-day course. So started last Tuesday, and today we're recording this on a Thursday. And so tomorrow is the fourth and last day. It is a packed course. There's about seven people in the IT team which are attending. And that's probably a good number. You know, sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less, but seven people is a good number. And yeah, so we cover like the basics of PowerShell from start to the beginning, to start to the end, pretty much. So the introduction, you know, the console, the ISE window, commands, profiles, the pipe, passing objects through the pipe, not string through the type, talking about objects, how objects are instances of types, objects contain members are properties and methods, you know, all this sort of stuff. And so I was telling you this before, Rob, that I've been using PowerShell for the last 5 years or more, but you know, like when it comes to teaching PowerShell, my God, that is a learning curve in itself, because you've got to sort of go back on what you've been using and putting the theory behind it. Like, I know like something dot such and such with no curly braces or parentheses is a property of a object, but the difference between that and a method which has parentheses, and methods can contain or can accept arguments as values. Well, all of that sort of palaver, I know that by doing it, but to talk about it is a different story. And so that's basically what I had to do for the last 2 weeks, is do a whole bunch of preparation and put my doing into theory enough to talk about it. And the slide deck that we use for the PowerShell training over the 4 days, a slide deck, it's probably the biggest slide deck you've seen in your life. It's about 530 slides.
So you've been trying to kill people with PowerPoint, is that correct?
Well, there's 17 modules in total. And so the idea is it's roughly 4 modules a day. So I get up there and present one module, goes for about roughly, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour, depending on how long the module is. They then sit down and do a lab, and the lab goes for roughly an hour, give them time. There might be a few slow people who got to help through the lab to speed them up, because they could drag it back for everybody else. There's some fast people in there, slow people in there. And then I then kick on with the next module. Again, present for another 20, 30 minutes on the next module, and then go and do the lab and so forth. And then the 16 of these is roughly 4 a day. And it is a packed course. It is a pretty cool course too. It's been written by a couple of the Microsoft people here in Australia. And it's taught across the globe through Microsoft US as well. So yeah, no, it's a great course. It is. And the way it's structured, the slide decks, the way they've laid it out, it is a very good course indeed. So, yeah. What about yourself, Rob? What have you been up to?
I've been recovering from a bout of traveling for doing some Azure boot camps, and also doing a Office 365 presentation to the community event, Office 365 Saturday in Adelaide. So basically completed all that. So 2 days worth of training in a couple of locations in Australia, one as a sort of overview introductory, and then one as a deep dive for partners. And then obviously the Office 365 Saturday is aimed at anybody who wants to come along and just increase their knowledge on Office 365. And the slides for all that are available if people need them. And I will probably look at recording the session and then putting it up on YouTube when it is completed. And I did also do a Yammer session in Melbourne, which I've now posted up on YouTube as well. We'll include that in the show notes. So that title presentation was called Yammer Wise, It's Still Relevant Today, basically. So some interesting concepts there that people may want to look at when it comes to migration to Office 365, and why I believe that Yammer is only getting stronger and not something that Microsoft would look to basically, I suppose, roll into another product. So I still see it as being particularly relevant. So I wrote a blog post on that, posted it up. So it's been very busy, and now the week is to catch up on things, is to prepare for the next round of material. Some of the other stuff I'll talk about, some of the opportunities for people to get involved with some of the stuff I'm doing more towards the end as we begin to wrap up. So I think probably with that, unless you've got anything else that...
Well, yeah, I've got a question for you. Two questions, in fact. One question, just briefly. So you're talking about the Azure Bootcamp plus Office 365 Saturdays, because you're covering both aspects of the Microsoft cloud. In your opinion, from what you've experienced out there in the world or in Australia, what do you think is the most popular, Azure or Office 365?
Office 365, because there's more consumers than there are resellers.
Okay. Now, next question.
Let me just make another point. Another interesting stat I came across was that apparently now it's got to the point just recently where Microsoft's licensing revenue from Office 365 has exceeded the traditional licensing it got through all its other methods. So the subscription click to run
Office itself.
Yeah, Office itself, yeah.
Right.
Okay, another question.
Okay, the other question. Now, this came up from one of my students in the PowerShell course, and it was an Office 365 related question. I thought, who do I know that knows about Office 365? Do you know anybody?
No, I've received a phone call from somebody before they walked into their PowerShell course, but we won't talk about that, will we? But how can I help?
Okay. Now, we talked about this on a recent podcast. You mentioned docs.com. Microsoft are stopping that or canning it, docs.com. Now, keep that in the back of your mind for a second. Let's talk about something else. There was a announcement or recent announcement we mentioned on the podcast recently, and also too, going back a few months ago, as you know, late last year, Azure moved their documentation service to docs.microsoft.com, which is based on docs.com. Also too, just recently, they moved the rest of MSDN, which has happened in the last week, I think it was, or last 2 weeks. They migrated MSDN from their old current portal, which was flaky at the best of times, didn't work too well, and it was clunky, didn't work too well on the mobile device. They moved that across to docs.com as well, which works beautifully, and it looks $1 million. Now, with that in mind, they're putting all of their documentation on docs.com and they've canned it for consumers. What is the replacement for docs.com for consumers?
Microsoft's pushing people towards slideshare.net, which is part of the property they bought from LinkedIn.
Slideshare.net. Okay, let me just write this down so I can let my customer know.
So slideshare.net I've used for many, many years as being a LinkedIn customer. I think I was one of the first 100,000 or something people using LinkedIn back in the day. They came up with a service years before docs.com that allowed you to upload presentations, documents, and that sort of thing. So that is where Microsoft's telling people to put the information they used to put in docs.com. However, I will comment that I think slideshare.net does look a bit old and tired, and hopefully it gets a docs.com and a Microsoft makeover to improve its look and feel. So hopefully that's the case now that LinkedIn is part of the Microsoft properties and Microsoft to have some cash to throw at it. So, but the official word is that presentations, anything that went into docs.com for the consumer now needs to go to slideshare.net, which is a LinkedIn property, which is also now a Microsoft property.
So we've got slideshare.net, which was part of LinkedIn originally, and we've got docs.com, which is part of Microsoft. So does that mean there was a LinkedIn executive and a Microsoft executive in a meeting room together, and they had a discussion, and then the LinkedIn executive sort of won that discussion, and then slideshare.net won over docs.com?
I would suggest that if we only knew someone at Microsoft that we could ask to actually find the truth. Now, my guess would be is that Microsoft decided to make docs.com proprietary for themselves for security reasons, for simplicity, for a range of reasons. And again, why duplicate something when slideshare.net is already out there, is already being used by a lot of people anyway? So I think it's more a consolidation than it is a winning battle from one side or the other. So to me, it makes a lot of sense. It's unfortunate. I really like docs.com. I reckon it looks really nice. Sharing, I think it's a fantastic service. Sorry to see it go, but my hope is that slideshare.net will end up in some way, shape or form very much like the look and the feel that we see in docs.com. And I think it's a good thing that Microsoft is closing down services that don't make sense or are duplicated to focus the resources on making what's there better. So that's the way I would approach it.
You mean on the same theme as OneDrive and OneDrive for Business and Skype and Skype for Business?
Yeah, at the end of the day, the more stuff that, you know, someone like Microsoft has to look after different technologies, it becomes more complicated, more teams, more people, less focus. So I think that consolidation is a good idea, and I think Microsoft's long-term plan is to basically build the services as similar as possible. So we see Windows 10 on the desktop, Windows 10S, we see Windows on the phones, we see Windows on the Xbox. So, you know, again, it's sort of getting to this nirvana Microsoft's always been trying to get to, where you basically have a single platform to rule them all. So makes sense. And again, I'm all for Microsoft, again, focusing its resources on fewer properties and making them better.
So another question for you. You've been doing the Azure Boot Camp, and as far as people being receptive to the topics you'd be talking about, what do you think has been the most interest, or what has taken the most interest from the people going to those events? Is it IaaS or PaaS?
Well, most of it has been for people who are being introduced to the platform. So it's a smaller step for them to move from on-prem to IaaS. PaaS is something that typically requires more software, more programming, more code writing, and most of these people don't have that skill set as yet, so their focus is generally, how do I do what I'm doing on-prem, but now in something like Azure. Now, obviously the big difference is that the great thing about moving it to a platform like Azure is that you can now deploy it all by software. So done right, you can certainly do it through the console, but the aim is obviously to get them to using your favorite tool, PowerShell, to deploy these sort of things in a consistent and repeatable manner.
Now, okay, speaking of all of that and questions and stuff like that, there's another conversation I had with this person from the university. Now, I must admit, they're up there with the latest and greatest, although they haven't got the latest yet. So what I'm talking about here is, we had a big conversation about this, and I know, Rob, we've had conversations and I could say probably arguments as well in relation to which one is the best one to use. Now, we're talking about the Office 365 OneDrive for Business sync client, which syncs both OneDrive for Business libraries and SharePoint document libraries. Now, your argument is basically saying that, okay, so SharePoint Online, you go to the website and you can open up your documents and it opens locally on your machine and so forth. It syncs down and you can open up and edit it and stuff like that. My argument was the fact that you can sync those files to your local computer. It acts like a normal network drive. Now, all that aside, those magic folders, those shells, you know, the ones they canned about 3 years ago with OneDrive?
Placeholders. You know,
another ones. Placeholders, yes, the shells. We talked about this in a recent podcast as well. They're coming back shortly, aren't they?
So not quite.
This is, well, didn't you say they're coming back soon?
They're not exactly in the same way. So Microsoft is basically not using the same sort of technology. So what it's using is a different way of going about it. But yes, in broad terms, you can assume that basically it's a red light, green light, orange light, whether it's on your desktop or whether it's in the cloud or whether it's sort of on demand. So you've got those options to control
same function,
now.
Same functionality.
Correct, same functionality.
Is it officially been released yet?
No, it's going to be available with the Fall Creators update on Windows 10. So you'll need the Fall Creators update on your Windows 10 machine, then it will be available to you.
And that'll affect the... Okay, so the calls that I've made for you to you in recent weeks from other customers I've been dealing with about moving from the old OneDrive for Business Sync client to the new OneDrive for Business Sync client. It's a clunky way of following an Office 365 post on how to do it. You're saying with the new Full Creators update, it'll just happen at the operating system.
Well, it should already be happening now. So one of the things Microsoft recently announced with Office 365 is there is a switch in the SharePoint admin area that you can determine whether it's the old client or the new client. So what Microsoft is now committed to doing, it's now switching everybody across the auto option from the old client to the new client. So what that means is unless you go in and change that yourself manually, all the users will now receive the latest client that is available for OneDrive Sync to their desktops, and that is rolling out as we speak.
Okay, cool. All right, well, they are waiting for that feature before they roll out Windows 10 Full Creators Update.
Well, they've got to have Full Creators Update before they have that feature.
Yeah, I know. It's the other way around, right? So I'll talk to them about that tomorrow.
Yep. And again, part of this also falls in line with the newly announced Microsoft 365, which is a combination of Office 365, Windows 10 as a subscription, and also things like Intune, EMS, rolled in as a single, as an included package.
Jeez. Speaking of subscriptions, I'd love to subscribe to the Surface Pro. Surface Plus, have you heard about that?
Yeah, somewhere along the lines. You know, there's lots and lots, the way it's all going, obviously. But yeah, I mean, if you need to update your machine on a super regular basis, but as more and more stuff moves to the cloud, do you really need that unless you're producing a podcast?
Well, unless you're a geek like us, we always want to have the latest and greatest.
Well, maybe you, not so much me. It's whatever does the job. And again, you know, the problem with buying the latest technology is you pay for it through the nose. So that's the decision you need to make. And like I said, I'm still using a range of inverted commas old technologies here, and they do quite adequately. So again, you know, vanity comes at a cost.
All right. So news for this week. News.
So news. So it sounds to me as though you're stalling for some reason, and it's probably stalling because there's probably not a lot out there at the moment, is there, compared to what we've seen before in the past?
Well, I was also trying to do a bit of a segue, a coal segue, and it wasn't a very good segue to go from our general chit-chat into news.
Right, okay, so
I could have just went straight into news. It would have been a bit odd.
So what we need to do is we need maybe a musical interlude by somebody that says, chit-chat over now. Now for the news. Across to the news desk.
Maybe we should get like a band to sing for us.
No, your sponsor. Your challenge.
That's a good idea. We should get a band to sponsor us. And they can do mini jingles that we can play in the podcast.
Your challenge.
I should organise that.
Your challenge from last week was to come up with a moo button. Have you come up with a moo button for us yet?
Moo.
No, not a Mark Moo. I'm talking about a synthetic Moo.
No, not yet. And I don't have the nerve.
Well, you'd be surprised at the amount of people that have come to me asking that when is Mark going to deliver on his requirement to produce a Moo button.
They're not going to want a Moo button.
Oh, yes, they are.
What's so good about a Moo?
It's a challenge for you, Mark. The latest and the greatest. Everybody's got a Moo button. If we don't have a Moo button, we're not up with the latest.
All right, I'm sure I can grab my phone and go to the App Store and find a Moo app.
All right, well, while Mark's doing that, why don't I talk about some Office 365, some information for you. So some...
And you don't want... You want okay, all right, you get to do that, and I'll just, like, try and look for an app.
Yeah, just keep yourself occupied over there playing Candy Crush or something while I get on with what's really important here, okay? So one of the things that Microsoft has announced is that Office 365 groups... now has the ability to have expiry in it. So you can set up a group and you can now configure that group to expire. We'll put again the links to these items in the show notes. At the moment it's gone into public preview. So a group basically when you create it in Office 365 gives you an email list, a SharePoint site, a planner plan, a number of other resources. And as you can imagine, accumulating those over time can be a bit of a pain, especially when you have to go and clean them up manually. So again, we've now got the ability to expire groups, and currently in public preview, and Mark will love this, that the way that we currently do it in the preview is via the Azure portal. So again, you just need to be a little bit au fait with how to get into the Azure portal, even if you have Office 365. So that is another option there. Another quick one, I think I can hear Mark pressing the buttons and making a purchase in the App Store. So another quick replacement for potentially Find Time, which is a bit, we're not quite 100% sure what's going to happen with Find Time. I've heard rumors that Microsoft are talking about bringing it back after people complain. So Find Time is a scheduling tool. There is another tool out there that works well with Office 365 called Doodle. So again, if you want to have a look at that, it's beta.doodle.com. And again, we'll put that in the show notes.
Did you say Google?
No, I said D as in Dumber and Dumber, doodle.com.
It sounds like Google. Why would you want to name your company that sounds like Google?
I wonder why. Maybe you get good SEO, perhaps?
So, same spelling as Google, but with a D?
No, with two Ds.
Right, so D, D...
No, no.
Did you hear that?
Can you spell Google for everybody?
Did you hear that?
No, sorry.
Yes.
All right, well, Mark's still fiddling around in the background. I'll keep
it's
going.
It's a move sound effect.
I can't hear a move sound effect on my side, I'm sorry.
Just say yes.
No, I don't hear it. I don't tell lies.
Yeah, well, it's... Can you not hear that? Okay.
It's inadequate. Do you want me to keep going, or would you like the stage to talk about your news?
I'm going to put my phone down.
Stop fiddling with it. It'll fall off.
Go for it.
So one of the other things that I came across is a Microsoft PowerShell module browser. So pretty handy little tool when you need to dive deep into the innards of PowerShell. All right, so basically what you can do is go to this website Microsoft gives you, and you could type in the module you're after, and it will then search that and then give you all the reference data about that. So if you're working with multiple PowerShell modules like Azure AD, Office 365, Azure RM, AD on-prem, all that sort of stuff, it's all available to you basically in this one web page Microsoft's put up, which is going to make it a hell of a lot easier to find that one module that does the one thing that you really need. So I'll put again the link in the show notes for you. And another interesting item here, since that Mark has taken on the mantra of mentioning OneDrive on every single episode that we have, Mark, did you know that OneDrive has turned 10? 10 years old OneDrive's been running.
Well, no, I didn't know that. But in my books, they hit the pause button after they took that feature out.
Well, again, the reality is we started off with things like SkyDrive. We've then moved through things like Mesh as well. That was another, I suppose, client side, thanks to Ray Ozzie when he was at Microsoft. But yes, OneDrive, in whichever way, shape or form you want to measure it, has been around for about 10 years now. So I think it's...
different iterations.
Correct. It started off in the consumer side as a web storage portal location.
SkyDrive before that.
That's right. And then we basically saw it morph into Office 365 and the older tool from the SharePoint Workspace days and the Groove days then became the Sync client, and that has gone through its ups and downs and its iterations, but seems to be hitting its strides now with the latest version, which will be available in the Creators Update, as we have mentioned. But I'll put a little link in the show notes to the information about OneDrive turning 10. How are we going?
Fantastic.
How are we going over there, Mark? Are we good to go?
Yes, all good to go. Now, the cow thing won't work. I heard the cow thing on my side of the headphones, but it won't work because of the complications.
We will continue using a telephone with
a mic on this side. It won't work.
We will continue to receive complaints until that item is in place. So you need to work on that once the podcast has concluded.
I'll have to work out another way, but I can't do it through the iPhone.
Geez, if you had a Windows phone, it'd work straight away. Would you like me to do it on my Windows phone while you talk about Azure News?
Well, hang on. There won't be an app for the Windows Phone.
There's would you like
the,
me
the iPhone? But I'm talking.
Would you like me to make it happen on the Windows Phone while you talk about Azure news?
Yes.
All right. Off you go. Talk about your Azure stuff.
Good luck. I'll cross my fingers. Okay. Announcing the new improved Azure Log Analytics. Yeah. Azure Log Analytics is a service. It's part of OMS. It's rolling out an upgrade to existing customers, offering powerful search, smart analytics, and even deeper insights. This upgrade provides an interactive query language and an advanced analytics portal powered by a highly scalable data store resembling Azure Application Insights. This creates a consistent monitoring experience for IT operations and developers. It is the biggest upgrade since its launch. This new and improved Azure Log Analytics brings you a simple yet very powerful query language with all the capabilities requested in the language feedback. Over the last couple of months, we have been working closely with over 60 customers who have had early access to the upgrade, and their feedback has been very positive regarding the enhanced experience and capabilities of the new language. More info to that in my blog and in the show notes. The show notes will have a link to my blog, and my blog will have a link to the news article. There's a cow. Okay, nice work. Okay, all right, so from now on, I'll just get a cow moo sound effect to say, all right, move on. Cool, that's Rob's response. Nice one. Using Azure Custom...
Would you like a brown cow instead? That was a black cow. That was a black and white cow.
No. I could tell that. No.
That's a black one for you.
Correction, that was a black cow with 30% white dots on it. You need a black cow with exactly 50% white spots.
Here's one.
It's a different move. There you go. That's what you want. Using Azure Custom Script. Okay, hang on for a sec. Cow, shush. I'm reading the news.
The way you shut a cow up is you give it something to eat to chew on.
We'll go and give it some grass. Using the Azure Custom Script extension to execute scripts on Azure VMs. So in case you haven't heard about this service, you can use the Azure Custom Script extension to configure your Azure VMs to make them customizable to how you exactly want them. So a guy called Stephen Stranger has written a blog post on using the Azure Custom Script extension to execute scripts on Azure VMs. So with this extension, you can execute scripts on your virtual machines in Azure. It is useful for post-deployment configuration, software installation, or any other configuration or management task. Scripts can be downloaded from the Azure Storage or GitHub or provided to the Azure portal at extension runtime. There are multiple ways to execute a PowerShell script on a virtual machine currently. So you can either do the good old PowerShell remoting over a secure connection with HTTPS on port 5986 with HTTPS and a certificate, or you can configure your virtual machine using good old desired state configuration, which is fully supported in PowerShell, or you can use, as we just talked about, the custom script extension. So more info to that in the show notes. What do you reckon, cow?
Put the cow away for the time being. Keep going. Don't encourage me.
You put the cow away.
Yeah, put the cow away. I'm looking for some. I'm looking for something else. Don't encourage me.
If only it was that easy.
Well, for me it is. I'm Ronald McDonald. See, I control my animals, unlike you.
Right. So Microsoft Services have a new sign-in experience. I don't know if you've noticed this before, but when was the last time you logged into a Microsoft service?
Probably 2 minutes ago.
Today? Yeah, right. And have you noticed that there's like a colourful web page now, a new sign-in experience?
Yeah, they've had this before, and there's been a bit of backlash that probably they promised they wouldn't do this, but they've basically banged it out to everybody really, really quickly. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
Are you trying to make cow sound effects yourself?
No, not yet.
It sounds like it. So Microsoft have merged the Azure Active Directory, which is the, you know, the on Microsoft account sort of part of it, and the Microsoft account section, which is the, you know, hotmail.com or live.com, whichever one you want to call it, together in one sign-in experience. So whether you're using either Azure AD or the Microsoft account, you'll get the same login process. Now, the Microsoft Chief Marketing Officer, Chris Capicella, showed off how this feature will look. There's a rooster.
Nope. Try again. Oh, here's a better. Here's even a better one. What about that one?
Yeah.
Keep going.
The two separate account services will get a consistent experience that looks and behaves exactly the same. The company says it was necessary to avoid the jarring switches between the services. They're calling it the jarring switches. It was a little bit clunky, and they've merged it into one type of signing experience, which it works. It gets you in. Like, in my opinion, it's not a big deal. It looks better. It's more colorful. And it works. So I had no problems with it.
Yeah, it works for you. It doesn't work for a lot of other people. But anyway, never mind. I'm sure we'll hear from all of those people who have issues with it. Does it work with ADFS? Those that have ADFS, does it work with that?
I don't know. Hang on. Yes, it does. Well, Microsoft has... When I sign into a Microsoft product with my account, it redirects halfway through the sign-in page to an ADFS server because it's an STS in Aura, which is a fewer token service.
Are you sure?
That's right.
Are you sure?
Yes, and it works.
Are you sure?
Am I sure? Yes.
I'd be careful there.
So, it works beautifully.
I think there's some people out there that would argue against that. But anyway, all right. So, let me do some stuff here as well. So... Stuff. Talking about some new stuff out there, Microsoft are working on a new Outlook.com beta. So this is the consumer version of Outlook. New look and feel, new features. Go to the link we put in the show notes, but good chance that this will probably end up in Office 365 as well. Test it on the consumers, roll it the best features into the commercial product as well. So probably really handy updates, improvements, usabilities. But again, if you want to see what that is and you've got an Outlook account, you can go to the beta, sign up or opt into that and then get all those new features and have a play with them. Another one, speaking of Outlook, is a new add-in to allow you to schedule meetings in Microsoft Teams. So when you open your Outlook and you've installed Skype for Business on your desktop, you get a little button that allows you to schedule a Skype for Business meeting. It puts the URL there, the meeting link, and allows you to invite people. There's now a button in your Outlook that will allow you to do exactly the same thing for Microsoft Teams. And the way that that appears is if you have the Teams desktop app on your machine, then that's where it's going to pull it from. So you might see an extra button in there when you start scheduling appointments to allow you to make appointments for your team through Microsoft Teams directly in your Outlook. So again, another little option there. What sound effect are you looking for, Mark? Is that just typing on the keyboard? I think we can hear that one.
No. I'm just looking at another news article here. The fact that Azure PowerShell PowerShell Core beta has been updated to version 6.0.4. So in case you're wondering or not keeping up with the version numbers for PowerShell, the PowerShell you've got probably installed on your machine right now, if you're running Windows 10, is version 5. There is the version 6 coming out shortly, which is the first open sourced version of PowerShell after they announced that it's going to be open sourced. And you can now install the beta of version 6.0.4 on an Ubuntu VM or Mac OS. And there's instructions how you can do this because obviously part of the announcement, they talked about having it across Linux supported. So here we go, there's a blog post how to do it. I'm just reading through this blog post here and there's an if statement here. If reply equals tilde, and it looks like a regular expression, so start of a match, which is the little arrow going upwards, and then you got the square brackets, capital Y and then little y with a dollar sign, which is the end of the match, the expression match, and then close square brackets after that in an if statement. I'm thinking, geez, man, I'm teaching PowerShell now, which is more defined for what's out there currently, but this stuff's in version 6. There's a learning curve.
Good. All right. Give you something to keep you occupied when you get back from the Gold Coast. One of the other options in Azure that was that I've already done but was under preview at the time is the backup vault swap. So it allows you to swap the vaults from the classic shell, the ASM model, into the ARM module. So that means that...
Hang on, we've talked about this already.
No, but what I'm saying, that was in preview. Now, basically, it has gone GA. My understanding is that...
That was quick.
A lot of the existing ones, too, will swap across unless you determine you want them left in the classic portal. Don't know why, but... again, we'll put the link to this information in the show notes. But if you've been waiting for the production or the GA of this feature, it's now available. Makes it nice and easy.
It's nothing really much to it, is it? I mean, it's just like you move it from the classic to the new. It's either not going to work or it is going to work. There's no other like feature around it. So I guess that's why it took that not that long to go from preview to GA. It's like a Boolean. It's like a true or false. It's like true. Yep, it works. Done. Tick. Next.
So the way that you do this typically is just a PowerShell script. You've got to run a couple of lines and it will shift the vault across for you. Done that with all my vaults. Didn't have any issues. Worked immediately. No reconfiguration of the clients. The great thing is once you get the vaults into the new portal, then you can obviously work with them in the new interface, but you can also then link them to email alerts, and you can also link them to PowerShell reports. To Power BI reporting, which is really cool, which I've done as well. So lots of good additions and benefits of moving any old vaults, backup vaults you may have, directly into the new resource manager portal. And again, really simple, just one or two lines of PowerShell code to do that.
And do you know that every single non-techie person out there loves Power BI?
I've always said that.
Obsessed with it.
I've always said that. The reason is, one thing is that it's free, and again, it's so visual, and it's so easy to use, and it works with Excel on your desktop, Excel in the cloud, Azure, SQL. So many people now aren't writing their own reporting schemes.
It's like
just out to Power BI.
Those pretty graphs and charts that Power BI exports and displays in the screen is like porn to non-technical people.
Especially to the people that write the checks, the financial control, the CEOs, because again, it gives them a nice summary, they can drill in. So again, I use the tool regularly. I think it's fantastic and certainly recommend that everybody have a look at it, because it can really give you some great results and make understanding of the information really easy. And with the growth of IoT, all these statistics and feeds and numbers and data coming into the system, Power BI helps you make sense of that and adds a bit of color, which I think is fantastic.
Power BI, PowerShell.
Don't forget Power Apps as well. We've got to talk about Power Apps as well. That's another one.
All right, well, we're coming to the end. We better wrap this up shortly. So we better thank our sponsors, Rob.
Yep.
So who are our sponsors?
So given that you're lost somewhere remotely in the vicinity of Bond University across the border in the demilitarized zone.
I'm not totally lost, thanks to Rode. I'm currently talking right
now on
the Rode Ant. Thank you. The Rode USB, anti-USB, I should say. The USB mic, which I bought and put in my suitcase, and it survived.
Do you pack it in your suitcase, normally, or do you take it as hand luggage?
In my suitcase. Right. But I put. In fact, there's a bit of a trick. What you can do, Rob, is put the mic in the pencil case that it comes with for extra protection. You put that in the suitcase, and then put the stand on top around the microphone, so it acts as like a frame as such.
Right, and hopefully that looks more like a bomb than not doing it the other way. Is that fair?
Well, no, otherwise it'll get damaged in transit, which has happened to me with other things.
Which is not what
you just got to get smart.
Which is not what we want. We don't want Mark's dulcet tones to be droned out by a microphone.
Exactly. And I'm trying to tell you this, Rob, because so next time you go traveling, you take your Rode microphone with you, your USB NT50, because remember, too, don't forget, I've got that other Rode microphone, which costs, I think, what is it, four times the price of this, which is about in the tune of $600, which I got from Rode. Thank you, Rode.com, for this. but I've got this other valve-based mic, which I've got to deliver to you next time we catch up, which is because we've got two of these sent to us from Rode. I'm using the one at home now as my permanent microphone at home. Now, that means it'll free up your NT-USB mic, Rob, which means you can take that one traveling instead of your lapel mic, and you'll sound much, much better on the road.
On the road or the road?
Ha-ha, love that.
Good stuff.
On the road.
The other one, other people that we need to thank, obviously, Zencast as well. They give us the ability to record together and then make it easier for Mark.
But they don't give us any money, though. Or they don't give us any
Have you asked them?
Products. Well, no, but they're...
Well, there you go. Yeah, apart from the Moo thing, which I've now overcome and done quite easily on my Windows phone versus your inappropriate and uncompromising and unavailable iPhone option, I would suggest that maybe if you contact them, they might be good enough to throw some benefits this way. But we do have some other...
So who was our other sponsor? Because I rang you today and I said to you, I'm so flat out with this PowerShell course, preparation, everything else, I won't be able to make the podcast recording tonight, as in right now. And you said, you know what, Mark? It's professional. We've got real sponsors now. If you can't make it, fine. Forget about it. I'll do it myself. You got shitty. And so who's our other sponsor then?
So the new sponsor that will be coming on board very shortly will be Ingram Micro. So they've do a lot of work with them, do a lot of presentations with them, and they're very interested in helping resellers get to the cloud through Azure CSP and
Office 365. Does that mean we get the new Surface Pro?
I don't think that they sell the Surface Pro. I think that has to come from a company that you may work for called Microsoft.
Right, but Ingram Micro are a distributor, aren't they?
My understanding is that I think the Surface is direct. I'm not sure, as I don't sell these sort of things. Maybe it is, I don't know. Right. I will go back and I will speak to them on your behalf and saying something that you want a freebie.
Well, you know what? I'm happy to put a massive Ingram Micro sticker on the back of my Surface and talk about Ingram Micro on the podcast, of course.
We've already done that. And good. They'll be sending us a new jingle and stuff that you'll have to incorporate. So there'll be more work for you to do.
So hang on. Is this how it works? Hang on. Ingram Micro. Ah, another free Surface for my son. Ingram Micro. Another free Surface for my wife. Ingram Micro. I got a mum and dad up the coast.
As you can tell, listeners, Mark is currently still delusional and will hopefully return in better condition for our next podcast.
Ingram Micro. What do I get for that? That's going out to hundreds and thousands of listeners, right?
And so it's again...
They are a great company.
I would also indicate that Mark is probably not taking his medication at the moment, so this portion may end up being edited out of the podcast. Where can people contact you, Mark, and ask for more sound effects that work next time on the podcast?
Twitter, like everybody else. So at Mark Keane, which with a C, MARCKEAN, or of course the Need to Know podcast, which is at N2K podcast. Of course, that's on Facebook as well, which Rob, you check that. I do the Twitter thing. And if you want to email us, which will go to, I think, you now. It's meant to be coming to both of us. But anyway, if you want to email us, Rob will definitely forward it on. He's on email 24/7 anyway with his Windows phone. Until it stops working because no one else uses it.
We've never had an issue. It's always worked and it still does.
Okay, good. I'm happy for that. So I'll continue to get these emails that Rob's forwards to me if you send them through to feedback@needtoknow.cloud. And if you want to catch up with all the latest episodes, it's easy. It's podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Excellent. All right. Well, with Mark done, you can contact me at DirectorCIA. And the last bit of, I suppose, advertisement from me is that I do run a bit of a community called CIOps Patron. If you want to be in that at the grandfather price of US $10 a month, I'll put the link in the show notes because it will be going up shortly. That will give you access to all the news, all the stuff I create, some OneNotes with lots of resources, discounts on the CIOps Academy courses, and so on. Again, that offer's good until the 1st of September. So if you're interested, please click on the link we provide in the show notes along with all the other details. And we'll get that up as soon as we have produced that. Mark will be able to do that on the plane coming back, I'm sure, given the multitasking abilities that he has.
Given the fact that planes now have internet connections.
Yeah, they do, actually. The Qantas ones are now trialling them, so some of their planes now have internet connectivity. They're trialling it for free. I assume that down the track it may cost, or if you're a certain level of frequent flyer, they may give it to you for free, but be interesting to see. Don't know if that's a good idea.
The latency like, though?
Don't know. It'd be very interesting to see. Again, there's a something for you to put on your to-do list next time you see that available.
So ask me the question about that again.
What was that? I can't remember what I was going to ask you.
Latency. Say, what's the latency like?
What's the latency like, Mark?
See what I mean? It's that bad. By the time you ask that question,
you're going to look pretty foolish when it's dead quicker than using an NBN on the ground, aren't you?
How is that technically possible? Seriously.
So
planes flying at 900 depends on tail wind.
No. Plane calculations. I think it's time to end. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.